Welcome to Now on Netflix, your guide to what is coming out this week that you do not want to miss. I'm Jessica Shaw from SiriusXM, joined as always by the executive editor of todoom.com and the smartest person around, Mr. Henry Goldblatt. Hi, Henry.
Hey, Jessica. I hope I can live up to that this episode.
You absolutely can. This episode has a theme, and it is called Men Behaving Badly, because we're going to talk about Ripley, which is out today. We're going to talk about Scoop, which is out tomorrow. But let's start with some happier things.
Jessica, there are a lot of men behaving badly. We're also going to be talking about movies from 1984. I'm realizing I haven't seen a lot of these movies since 1984.
The list is amazing. The fact that 1984 is 40 years ago this year feels a little bit wrong. I'm just going to put it out there.
I was wearing my little kid's painter's pants.
I was definitely wearing a Benetton rugby, and I wanted the blue and white one, but I somehow got the green and white one.
Oh, you know what? You're absolutely right. I think I had a Lacoste shirt. I remember having one in green as well and wanting the blue. And I also remember having feathered hair.
Oh, obviously. Was your collar up, Henry?
My collar was up, and there would occasionally be maybe two collars.
You were very stylish then and now, even 40 years later. All right, so fill me in. Netflix just did something about movies that turned 50. So what is this plan for all of these movies turning 40?
Netflix is doing this wonderful project this year in which we are celebrating big anniversaries of movies that happened in the years that ends with four. 1974, we celebrated the 50th anniversary of movies in our catalog. In 1984, which we're going to talk about, we're celebrating the 40th anniversary. It's a way to remind members and fans we have this great catalog of movies and you should go back and watch them.
Some of these movies, I can't believe they all came out in the same year. Is there a place that we can find the entire list?
Yes, you can find the entire list on todoom.com. And Jessica, as I said, I haven't seen some of these movies in 40 years, and I remember some of them differently as a kid. I'd like to start with a little one called Against All Odds. And Against All Odds starred Jeff Bridges, and he plays this injured football player who becomes sort of a bounty hunter of sorts, who goes to Mexico to track down a man's mistress who has gone missing and falls in love with her. But this movie is most well known for its soundtrack, a Phil Collins song, Against All Odds, which won a Grammy and was Oscar nominated and was Phil Collins' first number one song in the U.S. And the song is 80s ballad, sappy love song. And then to revisit this movie, it's really sad and gritty. And the juxtaposition of the two really cracks me up in retrospect.
Take a look at me now. That's the one and only time I'll ever sing on this podcast. I just want to make it clear. Don't worry, everyone. That song was amazing. I remember thinking, I'm too young to watch this movie, but I love this song. One of my favorite movies that came out in 1984 that's having its 40th anniversary, I still can't believe this, is Amadeus. Miloš Forman, one of the great directors of all time. This movie, I loved so much. And I gotta say, unlike a few things on this list that are very of the 80s, this movie is timeless. F. Murray Abraham, who I think a lot more people got to know in White Lotus, he is the best Salieri on the planet. Tom Hulce, he's so good as Mozart. I love this movie. Footloose, another movie that came out in 1984, is one that I watched about 10,000 times. Obviously, had a huge crush on Kevin Bacon. I love being able to show this movie to my kids and have them love it as much also. Diane Wiest, John Lithgow is the Reverend Shaw Moore. I always thought it was so cool that my last name was his first name.
Jessica, there's a movie that I believe that we differ on because you've taken a more modern approach to John Hughes, where I prefer to live in the 80s with John Hughes movies. And 16 Candles is turning 40 this year as well. I can't believe that. I remember being at birthday parties watching this movie with Molly Ringwald and Anthony Michael Hall and John Cusack and Joan Cusack. These movies, they were the theme of our childhood, but you have a fairly different opinion.
I know this movie by heart. Even when you said Joan Cusack, the only thing I could think of was she has this mouth brace on and she leans down to get a drink from the water fountain and she can't do it because her mouth brace keeps hitting it and then spills water all over her face and she's wearing a shirt that has a person in a skirt and she lifts up the skirt to wipe her face. But like, this movie is so hilarious. You need to be able to watch it with 1980s eyes, because if you don't, yes, there are definitely isms that you will not be comfortable with, that I don't know what to say. It was the 80s. 80s. We were children. Would this movie get made now? Definitely not. Have I seen it probably more than I've seen any movie? The first line, Ginny, Mike, Sarah, Sam, time to get up. I know this movie by heart. Also, one of the great last lines of a movie.
There is one more movie that I want to single out because it creeped me out so badly in 1984. I was probably too young to see it. And that is Firestarter, based on the Stephen King novel, starring Drew Barrymore, which was her third role or something like that. It's super creepy. It was directed by Mark Lester, which is weird in and of itself because Mark Lester was known for Commando, the Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. This was way out of his genre. I remember it as being weird and scary and didn't quite sit right with me. So I might revisit it to see if that holds. Also, stars Heather Locklear, and you know how much I love Heather Locklear.
Yes, and she loves you also. Another movie that I also have not seen in a very long time, but I was obsessed with in the 80s, Starman. It's a John Carpenter movie. Starred Jeff Bridges as this alien who lands on Earth, and he takes the form of this woman's recently deceased husband.
I have not seen that, and that should be one that I check out. Jess, I want to wrap this segment by talking about Beverly Hills Cop, and I can't believe this movie is 40 years old, and the reason why I want to bring it up is because there is a sequel coming to Netflix on Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F. It's coming out this summer, and Eddie Murphy's in it, Judge Reinhold. It really pays homage to the old one while spinning the franchise in a new direction. I'm looking forward to talking about it on the show.
As am I, and you can check out that full list of movies that are 40 years old over on todoom.com. Henry, the new series Ripley is out today. Ripley, of course, based on Tom Ripley, the character created by Patricia Highsmith. We saw The Talented Mr. Ripley, the movie. This is a full series created and written by Steve Zaillian, who I think most people know as a screenwriter. He wrote Schindler's List and Gangs of New York and Moneyball and things like that. It stars Andrew Scott as Tom Ripley. Henry, what did you think of the show?
This show is really interesting and compelling. And if you're going in to expect the movie, the famous Matt Damon, Jude Law, and Gwyneth Paltrow movie, I'd put those expectations aside. It's definitely a different retelling and remaking of it. The first thing you're going to notice is this series is black and white. There is nothing wrong with your Netflix. The creator, Steve Zaillian, wanted to do this because he said when he first read the book, that's how he envisioned it. He never saw it as a quote-unquote sunny, colorful postcard, but rather more as a film noir and wanted to capture that through the black and white tone.
And he absolutely does. It is shot like an old school noir, yes, in black and white, but also the way that he turns his camera on certain objects, on certain people. And of course, in case you didn't read the Patricia Highsmith, Tom Ripley novels, this season at least is about when Tom Ripley is hired by Dickie Greenleaf's dad to go to Europe, to go to Italy and figure out what's going on with his son. Johnny Flynn plays Dickie Greenleaf and Dakota Fanning plays Marge.
Johnny Flynn beat out more than 120 other actors for the role of Dickie Greenleaf. The casting directors were particularly impressed at his portrayal of the role, which was more sort of laconic and easygoing as opposed to a stuck-up rich kid. And if you're a fan of Johnny Flynn, you can see him in Lovesick, which has 3 seasons out now on Netflix.
I also loved seeing John Malkovich in this. You don't see him till later on, but he's so good in that very just fancy Venice world.
Jessica, speaking of Venice, this thing was shot in over 200 sets and locations all over Italy, Rome and Venice and Palermo and the Amalfi Coast. And even though it's in black and white, you still get the sense of these places and just how texturally rich they are. It's really a feast for the eyes. I was surprised because usually I'm such a simpleton. I'm like, give me everything in color. This was really interesting and a surprising choice.
And like you said, the villas that they shoot in, the outdoor shots of the canals in Venice or the beaches outside Palermo, one shot is more beautiful than the next.
What did you think of Andrew Scott's performance?
It's so funny because you know when there's an actor and they play a certain role and that role is just seared into your mind? And obviously Andrew Scott, I mean, he should have been nominated for an Oscar this year, but he's done so many other things, but he will always be Hot Priest to me from Fleabag. I thought he was really good. He plays Tom Ripley. He keeps a lot internal, but he also has this insanity and this abrupt craziness that comes out at times that I thought was really good.
Jessica, I agree. I felt like he was a simmering pot. You know when a simmering pot sometimes boils over and that's when he goes a little crazy, and otherwise he's really trying to keep the rage gender control. I felt that Matt Damon's portrayal almost felt a little more of a playboy and a shapeshifter. And certainly there's shapeshifting qualities to this character, but I really found that less with Andrew Scott's performance.
When you watch a series that's many episodes, you really get to live with the character of Tom Ripley. And you also get to see the cat and mouse, the chase with this inspector who's on his tail after Freddie Miles is murdered and after Dickie Greenleaf is also murdered, but then they think he disappears. And so you really watch the cat and mouse of it all, and you get to know Tom so much more as a character.
Steve Zaillian told todoom.com that he really was interested in the pacing of the Patricia Highsmith's novels, and he thought that needed to be a series because of exactly that, to be able to draw out the cat and mouse game, whereas the movie felt a little finite and a little too condensed for his taste.
That's really interesting. Did he tell anyone at todoom.com if he has plans to adapt future Patricia Highsmith novels?
Not yet, but we'll see how this one is received. Hopefully the public will enjoy it as much as you and I did.
Yes, absolutely. Ripley is out today. Coming out tomorrow is the new movie Scoop, which is a look into how the women of Newsnight secured that now infamous 2019 interview with Prince Andrew about many things, among them his friendship with convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. And it's based on the Newsnight editor Sam McAllister's book, Scoops, Behind the Scenes of the BBC's Most Shocking Interviews. I remember watching this interview. I had no idea what went on behind the scenes to get this interview.
Jessica, this is my favorite Netflix movie of the year so far. And granted, I am the target audience because it involves journalism and tabloids and plucky, brusque women. I am so the sweet spot for this. It was great. Billy Piper's performance as Sam McAllister is just riveting and wonderful. And Gillian Anderson plays the journalist who interviews Prince Andrew, and she channels her best Diane Sawyer so well.
And Rufus Sewell, who a lot of people, at least on Netflix, know from The Diplomat. He's been in a billion things. I love him in The Diplomat, and he really disappears into Prince Andrew.
This movie is so crazy. Like you, I certainly know the story, but I had no idea what went on behind the scenes and how this booker was so instrumental in landing this. I'm dying now to meet the real Sam McAllister. She seems like a trip.
I agree with you. I think that movies about journalism can be tricky because sometimes they want to have a big moment. And this movie does such a good job about showing how she lays out the breadcrumbs. It's not like, oh, hey, I just got offered Prince Andrew. She puts in the time and she methodically figures out a way to get this done. And it's just so interesting. And I agree with you. Gillian Anderson is Emily Maitlis, who is the host of the show, the person who does the interview, and you get to see how little by little she draws Prince Andrew into saying things that you can't even believe that he ended up saying.
As a result of this interview, he had to step back from public duties. Jessica, the one film that it reminded me of was Spotlight. So if you enjoyed that film about the Boston Globe's journalists who investigate allegations against a priest, I'd recommend this. It's in a similar vein. I enjoyed it. It was a really easy 2 hours to watch, and it's a movie that's going to stick with me.
After you watched it, did you spend the next 3 hours on Wikipedia learning about every single person on that show? Because I definitely did.
A rabbit hole I went down, and no need to go to Wikipedia, my friends. You can go to todoom.com. And we have all the answers and bios of everybody. You'll get all your questions answered that you need.
Oh, I love that. Sam McAllister is the first one to say that she might never have become so famous were it not for one tweet from their executive producer, basically thanking her for being this tenacious booker and getting the interview. And had that not happened, the book might not have been written, the movie would not have been adapted.
Completely agree. She is definitely a firehouse and a spitfire, and it's great to see her get this recognition.
Absolutely. Scoop, the film, it's directed by Philip Martin, written by the great Stephen Moffat, is out tomorrow. Ripley is out today, and next week, Henry and I are going to preview the new series, Baby Reindeer. On behalf of Henry and myself, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week.